The 2026 midterm landscape, with just over 2 months until Election Day, is defying several of the assumptions that political operatives built their strategies around at the start of the year. Let's start with John Ossoff in Georgia, because his approach is the one generating the most strategic debate inside the Democratic Party. Ossoff is running an explicitly anti-Trump message in a state where Trump won the presidential vote. Conventional midterm wisdom for vulnerable Senate incumbents in red-leaning states says, distance yourself from your national party, emphasize constituent services, avoid culture war flashpoints. Ossoff is doing the opposite on the rhetoric side while being aggressively bipartisan on the constituent services side.
His theory of the case seems to be that the Georgia electorate that elected him twice is more movable against Trump than the presidential numbers suggest, and that a cautious centrist posture looks weak rather than pragmatic to the voters he needs. The polling data, if you believe it, shows a consistent lead, which in Georgia, for a Democrat, is not something you take for granted. What is interesting is that Ossoff has apparently found a way to hold both positions simultaneously. Combative on Trump nationally, quietly effective on pork and services locally. That is a harder balance to maintain than either pure opposition or pure moderation. But it is also harder for Republicans to attack cleanly.
The contrast with what is happening in Michigan is stark. Abdul El Sayed won the Democratic Senate primary there, and John Fetterman, Pennsylvania's senior senator, who has become one of the more unpredictable figures in the Democratic caucus, called El Sayed garbage this week. In public, using that word specifically. Fetterman's critique is rooted in El Sayed's positions on Israel and Gaza, where El Sayed has been sharply critical of Israeli military operations and has pushed for significant conditions on U.S. military aid. Fetterman has taken the opposite position consistently. But garbage is not a policy disagreement, that is a personal attack on the party's own nominee in a competitive race.
The Michigan Senate race matters for Democratic control of the chamber. And Fetterman's comments do not help El Sayed consolidate the party base he needs in a state where the Arab American and Muslim communities, particularly around Dearborn, represent a genuine electoral bloc with significant grievances about the party's Gaza positioning. This is the wound that keeps reopening for Democrats. They cannot fully satisfy either the pro-Israel wing Fetterman represents or the progressive Arab American bloc without alienating the other. And prominent intraparty attacks amplify the division at exactly the wrong moment.
Vivek Ramaswamy's Ohio governor's race offers a different kind of cautionary data point. He has outspent his opponent 7-1 in the Republican primary and is still in a dead heat. That spending ratio should produce a double-digit lead. Conventional campaign finance models suggest that kind of resource advantage is nearly determinative in a primary where name recognition is otherwise similar. The fact that it is not working suggests either that Ohio Republican primary voters have significant reservations about Ramaswamy specifically, or that there is a ceiling on how much paid media can do when a candidate carries specific biographical and ideological traits that activate skepticism in the base.
Ramaswamy's brand of politics is very online and very ideologically specific. He made his name as a MAGA intellectual rather than as a traditional Ohio Republican. Gubernatorial primaries tend to reward a different kind of candidate than presidential primaries. And Ohio Republican primary voters may be more instinctively comfortable with a conventional conservative than with someone who built his political identity on Twitter and CNBC hits.
And then there is the Hope Florida scandal. Democrats are demanding resignations over what appears to be a controversy involving the diversion of hurricane relief funds. Hope Florida was billed as a nonprofit initiative to connect Florida residents with services toward political purposes linked to the DeSantis administration. The specifics are still developing, but the core allegation is that money intended for hurricane recovery was being channeled through structures with political connections. In Florida, where DeSantis is already navigating the flock camera removal order, he this week ordered Flock Safety's automated license plate reader cameras removed from Florida state roads, citing privacy concerns. The last thing his political legacy needs is a relief fund scandal.
The Flock decision is interesting on its own terms. Flock safety cameras are used by hundreds of law enforcement agencies across the country to automatically log license plates and cross-reference them with databases of stolen vehicles and wanted persons. Civil liberties advocates have raised persistent concerns about the creation of comprehensive vehicle movement databases. DeSantis framing this as a privacy issue is somewhat ironic given his administration's track record on other surveillance questions. But the order is substantively correct as a civil liberties matter, whatever the political motivation behind it.